by the new and living way.
Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way, consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness with God's servant.
You're welcome to A Peace of Life, you know, for this week. Today is the 4th of October. Today we give thanks to God who has, in his mercy, kept us and, you know, preserved us until this time. A Peace of Life has been a great blessing. I listened through the last 2 weeks again, between yesterday night and this morning, and I was so blessed, so blessed, you know, the grace of God upon A Peace of Life, you know, of course, which is the grace of God upon God's servant, our daddy, God's servant, Pastor Emeka Eguchukwu, you understand, you know, it's so profound, you know, how it has increased in bringing, you know, God's thoughts as we see it in the epistles, you know, home, you know, turning, you know, scriptures to life. You know, the burden in the heart of the Lord, I believe, amongst others, for A Peace of Life is not only where, you know, revelation, understanding is shared alone. Of course, that's part of it. But much more, A Peace of Life is a ground, is a platform, you understand, to turn words into life. You know, wherein the things that, you know, are being taught are so brought to that point of visibility that everyone who listens or who watches would be able to, you know, fetch the life. You know, most of our meetings, either is Sunday service or is meetings in our mother ministry, you know, in EGFM, as the Lord has ordained it, you understand, you know, take thoughts raw, apostolic spirit, prophetic spirit, bring thoughts at a very, very high pedigree. Sunday service in New and Living Way also, you know, does that. You know, so A Peace of Life is a platform to push it home. You know, like Mommy Lillian will say, bring it home. You tell Daddy when Daddy is ministering, bring it home, like that. You know, so we're trusting the Lord, you know, that the Lord, you know, like Pastor Pope was praying a while ago for those of us who are here, would help us, you understand, to bring some of the thoughts that we'll be considering, you know, in today's Epistle of Life, to bring it home. I want to thank Daddy and Mommy Eguchukwu for the trust to take a piece of life. I'm going to yield to God's grace and Daddy, you know, and Mommy, and trust the Lord to help me to bring forth God's counsel as I'll be enabled. Let's say amen. Okay, can we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we're grateful. We thank you for your grace upon your servant, our daddy, our pastor, Pastor Emeka Eguchukwu, and Mommy Lillian. We thank you for the favor they found before you to lead us in the New and Living Way Church, and to lead many in the body, you know, through meetings like A Peace of Life. We thank you for the book of Galatians, our Father, that we've been considering, and that your spirit has been enabling your servant to cause this book, by the help of the Spirit, to come alive, for us to see things to do and how to live. We're grateful, Father, in the name of Jesus. Today, this afternoon, we ask, O God, you know, that you would help us to yield to your grace, your spirit that is upon your servant, our daddy, Pastor Emeka Eguchukwu and Mommy Lillian, that you would help me, the minister, and everyone listening to align with that grace, to yield from our hearts, to fetch the things that you have made available today, so that we'll be edified, we'll be instructed, we'll be corrected if need be, and we'll take home doctrine in the name of Jesus. Amen. That you, you know, make us of quick understanding, that your spirit will rest upon our hearts and your spirit will teach us. I ask that you would enable me in the right frame of mind and heart, yielding from my spirit to your counsel, to your spirit, to say the things you would have to be said, the way you would have them to be said, and in the manner you would have them to be said, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Galatians chapter 2. I think this should be lesson 13, if I'm correct, or 12 or 13, in our study of the book of Galatians. So Galatians chapter 2. Last week was most profound, until the point that Daddy said, he wants to now, talk about the burden the Lord laid in his heart. Until that point, of course, the meeting took another direction at that point. But prior to that time, the Lord was bringing forth was ministering so much to my own spirit as I listened. Then after that, it became very, very beautiful. So Daddy read Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. The meeting last week ended on the note of Daddy teaching on the issue of justification. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ the minister of sin? God forbid, or certainly not. Let's say amen.
Amen.
Now, Daddy explained so much last week about going up. The meeting began last week, a recap, understand the issue of Paul going up by revelation. And, Daddy was explaining, the issue that how we go up, spiritually speaking, is we go up by revelation. In every aspect of our life, the life of a believer, what takes us up? Righteousness exalts a nation. What takes up is revelation. If you remove revelation from the life of a Christian, one who's born again, they might never not truly go up the way the Lord would have them go up. Now, going up here does not mean you have a car, you have a house, you have a good job, good ministry, you're doing well in life. That's not what it means by going up. Going up means, attaining unto the estate of the life of God with our souls. You understand? So, without revelation, we can't truly, according to God's judgment, we can't truly go up. So, you find a lot of people, and this is true in the circle of believers who are hearing truth, who might not be making the kind of progress they ought to be making, or the kind of progress they think they should be making. At times, you feel like, okay, I came around these waters so and so years ago, and I came at the same time when this person came, and it seemed to me, quote unquote, I'm quoting, paraphrasing, and hypothetical, but realistic in many cases. The person that I came in, let's say I came in 2010, I came in when Sister, --, also came in. And I've discovered over the years that Sister --, has made so much progress, you understand, in the things of God. And their life also, naturally, has made so much progress. And you feel like, at times, if you're not careful, you can get offended with the Lord, with the path, with the people, with the message, all because you feel you are not making the kind of progress you should make. Then Daddy said last week that truly for a believer, we go up by revelation. That place I quoted, in the book of Proverbs, that righteousness exalts a nation. Now, and sin is a reproach. Now, we can't be righteous without revelation. So thank God for what we can do here and there about being a Christian, being right, pleasing God. But if you remove the vehicle of revelation, nobody truly, truly would go up. Nobody. Really. Every up
we go without understanding, being the bane of it, being what is running our soul, is not a sincere going up. We only went up for to come down. We will still respond to the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death will catch up with us because it will end up bringing us down. Now, bringing us down does not mean you now lose the car, the house, because that's not what I'm saying again. You now lose the ministry. 1,000 member now becomes 200 member. That's not what I mean. You understand? You know, the soul goes up. Now, of course, as the soul makes progress, things around would also be touched. But the core place to look at is our soul going up by revelation. So Daddy said you can't go up to Jerusalem. Paul said I went up to Jerusalem by revelation. And Daddy stressed, he said you can't even go up to spiritual Jerusalem without revelation. So, you know, to go up to the holy place, most holy place where the spiritual Jerusalem is, we need revelation. So the meeting began last week on the note of revelation being important in the life of a believer. So let's say amen.
Amen.
Then, of course, Daddy also made mention of, Paul being bold. Pastor Pope was mentioning that to defend the faith. And as that area was, you know, so much spirit, you understand, given to talk about seducing spirits, doctrine of devils, you understand, you know, our seducing spirits are not small spirits, you understand, that we've not really, really fully understood what those spirits are. You understand that they peddle things that can sway anyone, and that Paul in his day found grace not to be ashamed of contending for the faith. And that he said a lot of things, you know, from the times of the early church, heresy, error, to the time of the papacy, Martin Luther, you know, other reformers that the Lord raised over the years, down to the early 90s when he gave his life to Christ in 1990, you understand, and you understand, into the 2000s and, you know, the faith of the Son. Then he began talking about justification. That was the last maybe 10, 20 minutes of the meeting last week. He talked about justification, or 30 minutes. So I'll just pick it up and we'll stay there, you understand, just on verse 16 and 17. Let's say amen.
Amen.
Now, the thoughts of justification, Daddy said some around it, so I'll just, you know, continue by his grace in my measure of grace to minister, you know. He said, verse 16, Galatians 2, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. That he's talking to, generally, first of all, no man can be justified by the works of the law. Now in the New Testament, no soul can be justified by the works of the law. The works of the law cannot bring justification to our spirit. The works of the law cannot bring justification to our soul. What are the works of the law? The do's and don'ts that the law spoke of. The law of Moses, that's what he's talking about. Moses, if you read the book of Moses, or, you know, he said when Moses is read in 2 Corinthians 3, if you read Exodus, where they were brought out, you understand, then somewhere from about chapter 12 of the book of Exodus, they came out of Egypt. You know, by the time you get to chapter 19, they were around the mountain. 20, they were around Mount Sinai. From there, henceforth, God began to churn out, you know, laws about the tabernacle. You understand? Then laws about the feast. Then laws about the dressing of the priests. Laws about offerings. You understand? Laws of holy days, weeks, months, jubilees, then Leviticus, the law for the priests, Numbers, explaining those laws and giving further details about their journey, Deuteronomy, the teaching. Moses began teaching those laws. He began to give his own insight about the law. Now, the law was full of do's and don'ts. Let's say amen. Now, those do's and don'ts, God gave it to them in their times for justification. Let's say amen.
Amen.
Now, at that time, the way you can be right with God is to keep the laws. If you kept the laws the way God said to be kept, in the measure you can keep it, you are right with God. If you didn't keep it, you are not right with God. So in a measure, even though the law could not be fully kept, but God gave it to them to be keeping it, to do their best to keep it. And that was the basis of them being right with God at that time. But in the New Testament, Galatians 2 verse 16 is saying, by the work, is knowing that a man is not justified by the law, the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. So in the New Testament, from when Jesus rose up from the dead, nobody can be justified by the works of the law. Let's say amen. But prior to when Jesus, in the times of Moses, in the times before the times of David, because though God gave the law to the children of Israel through Moses, in practicing it, they were coming into some measures of justification. But with time also, God began to, through the likes of David and prophets in the New Testament, say that by practicing that law, you don't please me. Meaning God was evolving with his relationship with them. The demand of God for justification or being made righteous, because that's what justification means. Justification is made right. To be justified is to be made right. So the law, when God gave it to Moses, for example, if the high priest on the Day of Atonement keeps to all the ordinances, he washes his body, he kills the animal, you understand, one for himself, one for the people. He wears a white robe, white, you know, turban. He, you know, wears the white pants, which is the, you know, the breeches. Then ties a white, rope. You understand? And goes with the blood, goes with incense into the holiest of all, anointing the altar of incense in the holy place. Then goes into the most holy in the cloud. If he does it the way God says he should do it, he is right to have come like that before God. God would be unjust to kill him if he did it the way God prescribed at that time. But even at that time, there were those, yeah, God told them, if the high priest did not keep to all the instructions the way God said it, they said they normally tie rope at their waist. Because if he misses one of the instructions of coming and he appears, God will kill him. Why? He did not come right. He is not right in his standing. So God himself will kill him. You know, they were bringing the ark. You know, they were taking it to Jerusalem. David, you understand, went to bring the ark and did not follow all the ordinances. Uzzah touched it and the ark killed it. Why? Because that was not the right manner. They kept it in the house of Obed-Edom. After some time, David inquired. He now read, how you should bring the ark. And did it according to what is written with light. And brought the ark. And the ark was brought. Because why? They did it the right way. They were just in their approach. God gave the manner of, you know, them carrying the ark. And they did it well. And God was pleased. Let's say amen. Amen. So, you know, justification or righteousness, being made right, had evolved over dispensations of God. God had given over dispensations his judgment on what is right. Of course, none of them is as right as the justification which we now find in Christ. But the truth is that God had begun measuring out, you know, demands of what is right, you know, from the beginning. You understand? Let's say amen. Amen. So let me just say some things, you understand, around justification. The word justify means to declare right or to declare righteous. You understand? If God says he has justified you, it means he has declared you righteous. And justification or being made right is one of the biggest needs of man. You know, about now, back in the days, we read a lot of Kenyon. If you read Kenyon would bring the matter of righteousness. You understand? You know, he paints the issue of the need for righteousness of man before Jesus came. He painted it so much that you will see the weight behind what it means to be right. What it means to be right is so weighty It's in Christ that God gave it to us on a platter of gold. But it's really, really weighty. So to be justified is to be made right. Let's say amen.
Amen.
Now, let's take it one after the other. Let me take, I had to put down thoughts, you know, listening to Daddy that I would, you know, exhort around. How did we come to needing justification in the first place? Let's say amen.
Amen.
You know, one thing that, you know, I don't know, unconsciously, I find that happened to me. Most times, you know, when I reason scriptures, I like to reason it from the beginning, you understand, to find the bearing from the beginning. So, you know, somebody might ask, you understand, you know, how did we come to the point wherein we needed justification? At what point did man now needed, you understand, justification? Or put another way, when did we lose our justification that we now needed another one? That, you know, for example, in the days of Moses, you know, they now needed to be justified by doing the works of the law. Prior to Moses, in the days of, you know, Enoch, in the days of Abraham, in the days of the, you know, patriarchs that walked in Genesis chapter 5, you understand, you know, why, at what point did man lose justification that they now needed justification? Because all those men, they all came into some type of justification before God that made them right before God. The basic thing God expects of man is justification. And in the beginning, he didn't demand it. He actually gave it to man in the beginning. Because man was made a little lower than angels. Angels, how many of us know angels are right with God? In their different orders. When I say right, not the righteousness of God being in them, but they have degrees of righteousness or justification that makes them, you know, have some stand with God. The highest stands that any angel has are cherubims. They stand in the presence of God. They literally stand, and not just that, there is a righteousness in them that qualifies them to stand in God's presence. But other lower angels, seraphims, you know, the angels in the outer courts, they also have some kind of justification. They didn't work for it. God put it in them. When God was creating them, he puts things that makes them just before him. Eh? In the book of Isaiah, he said, your righteousness is like a filthy rags before me. So justification is your rightness before God. So God gave angels rightnesses. What makes them right? Because if you are not right, you don't even have a ground to have anything to do with him, but for his love. So all angels, God gave them righteousnesses of the heavens, not his own, but a heavenly righteousness. Let's say amen. Now, Adam was made a little lower than them. Then God also put righteousness in him. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, let's say amen.
Amen.
God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over everything that creeps and moves upon the face of the earth. God said that. He wanted to do that. Then in verse 27, he said, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, created he him. Male and female, created he them. He's talking about their spirit. That's where he created man's spirit. Let's say amen.
Amen.
Then in verse 28, and God blessed them. Now, he created it. He made it from things. He used earthly materials to fabricate their spirit and their soul. That's the thing they made in Genesis chapter 1. Their spirit and their soul. Then in verse 28, he said, and God blessed them. Comma. Then he also said unto them, be fruitful. That's a blessing for their body that will be given in chapter 2, verse 7. But he first of all blessed them. Now, that blessing was a giving of life to their spirit and to their soul. It has been created. It could as well just be something created that didn't have life. But God put blessing. Now, blessing is life. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Because the Old Testament actually gave an eternal antitype of how God does his things. He doesn't break that order. That's what Jane Lee Prophecy was saying. You see, that order of God doing things is the same order he will carry to the world to come. And he replicated it in our Lord, Jesus Christ. Now, he said, blessed be the God, Ephesians 1 verse 3, and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Everybody say, who hath? Who hath blessed us? It is what he did for us in Christ. That blessing, Ephesians 2 verse 4. Ephesians 2 verse 4. You understand? But God, he first of all talked about from verses 1 of Ephesians, you know, when we are, you know, and you at equiquing, who we are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walks in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our lifestyle or conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we are by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 4, my emphasis. He said, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. Verse 6. And had raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Now, this verse 4, 5, 6 is saying the same thing Ephesians 1 verse 3 is saying. How did he bless us? He blessed us when he raised up Christ from the dead in our spirit. Because Ephesians 1 verse 3 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That happened to our spirit when Christ was raised from the dead. So our spirit, man, had been blessed. Let's say amen. Amen. Now, what is blessing? Blessing is the giving of life. Life is blessing. Blessing is life. Can you give me that scripture in Ecclesiastes? You know, wisdom, you know, is this. You know, the money is this. But the excellency of wisdom is that it giveth life. You know, I think that's Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 12. Wisdom is a defense. And money is a defense. But where wisdom excels is that, he said, but the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Now, wisdom, Christ is wisdom. We learn it. But it is first of all to our spirit. It is stored in our spirit as wisdom. So our spirit was quickened, and while it was being quickened, they also imparted blessing to our spirit. So that's the reason why our spirit is wise. The spirit of everyone who's born again is wise. Because why? It had been blessed. Really, wisdom is life in motion. When you see a person demonstrating wisdom, it is life that is at work. When wisdom is stored, when it is stationary in the soul, it is life. But when wisdom is at work, you understand? When life is at work, it becomes wisdom. So he said, you know, wisdom is a defense, meaning it's a shield. Eh? Then he said, of course, money is a defense. Money there does not only refer to the paper, it's the wisdom of mammon. It's a wrong wisdom. Is a wrong life. He said, but where, you know, wisdom excels, or the excellency of knowledge, is still wisdom. Because what is, when you find wisdom congealed, the molecules of wisdom and knowledge is different knowledge put together that forms the totality of wisdom. So he said, but the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. So wisdom gives life if you have wisdom. It means wisdom is life. So in Genesis 1:28, when he said, and God blessed them in their spirit and their soul, God actually put wisdom in their spirit and their soul. Now, what's that wisdom that God put in them? God put life Adamic life. When you hear Adamic life or the life of Adam, God put it in his spirit and in his soul. In that Genesis, then he now later said, and God you said unto them, that's for their body, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. God was saying other things that they should do with life that has been stored in them. Because you need life to be fruitful. You need life to multiply. You need life to replenish the earth. Don't make the earth die out. Make the earth continue. And you need life to subdue the earth. You need life to have dominion. So the first thing that you give is life. But God gave it to Adam's spirit and Adam's soul. Let's say amen.
Amen.
So in a shadow, Adam was justified. Because wisdom is what makes for justification. Let's say amen.
Amen.
Wisdom is what makes for justification. So God put blessing in Adam's spirit, and he put blessing in Adam's soul. In the book of Corinthians, he said Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You understand? Later on in verse 31, he said Christ is made unto us. You understand? You know, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification and redemption. So all these things, they are actually wisdom and power. These four things are wisdom and power, depending on which side you look at it from. So these things in a shadow was what God put. God put wisdom in Adam's spirit. That the ego can thought it like this. It begins as wisdom. Then if, you know, wisdom that is well guided will show you what is right. And if you know what is right and you do it, it will separate you, which is sanctification. And that sanctification becomes a work of redemption in you. It's one thing. It begins as wisdom.
Yes, sir.
As you are wise, you know what is right to do. Am I saying the truth?
Yes, sir.
If you are not wise, you will not know what is right. You can know what is right and not do it. So Christ can be unto you wisdom, righteousness, but might not be unto you sanctification. So for it starts as wisdom. They teach you, you become wise. You become wise. Because the excellency of wisdom is that he giveth life. How he gives life is that he first of all shows you what is right. When it is wisdom, it is doctrine. When you understand the doctrine, doctrine moves further and becomes instruction in righteousness. That's Timothy. You understand? When you now do instruction in righteousness, it works on you. It becomes sanctification. And sanctification, if you allow it to follow its full process through, it becomes redemption. It means what that wisdom began doing that raised a standard of righteousness that you yielded to and it sanctified you would have worked a measure of redemption in you. But without wisdom, you wouldn't have arrived at redemption. So when God blessed Adam, because he didn't learn it, Adam didn't learn it, just like angels, he didn't learn it. When God blessed him in Genesis 1:28, God actually pushed wisdom in him. So Adam had life in his spirit and in his soul. Let's say amen.
Amen.
In Genesis 2, God formed the body and put spirit and soul inside the body. Let's say amen.
Amen.
Then God further blessed him again. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life for another level of life. So Adam in a figure was actually given faith. And that faith was what made him just. Because that ordinance is an eternal ordinance. You can't bring everlasting things when you don't have life things. Everlasting life can't be brought without life. There must be life before everlasting life. So in a measure, God demonstrated it. When he was creating Adam and his wife, their spirit and soul, he put blessing in them. And he said in Ephesians 1, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ. In Christ. It's not in heavenly places as in outer court, holy place, most holy. No, no, no. In Christ, in the spirit of Christ, there are blessings. And those blessings are in heavenly places inside the spirit. And those blessings, God made us partake of it when he raised up Christ from the dead. Somebody will say, For Adam, God put the blessing in their spirit and soul at the same time. Why did God not just put this blessing in our own spirit and soul at the same time? Now, Adam was the first of his type of creation. And God determined that because he was made a little lower than angels, none of us is a little lower than angels. Cain and Abel were not a little lower than angels. They were born. It is the honor of Adam, who is a little lower than angel, to get that blessing that way. He was not meant to learn it. Yeah. That's why God took the responsibility of giving him life. Then took him into the garden, then gave him everlasting life. God put that burden on himself and told him, take the journey unto eternal life. Yeah. But he fell short. In the New Testament, when Jesus, Ephesians 2 verse 4, when our Lord Jesus Christ was quickened from the dead. Can we give me verse 5? Thank you, Pastor. He said, even verse 5, Ephesians 2, even when we were dead in sins, at quickened. What is the meaning of that word quickened? To make alive. Go check the Hebrew word, the Greek word. It's to make alive. So what he did to our spirit is to make our spirit alive. How? He gave life. He gave life as wisdom. That's why you will find scripture says, no man knoweth the things of a man, but the spirit of man, which is in him. Because that spirit is wise. Your spirit is wise. Everyone who is born again, our spirit is wise. Oftentimes, when we are behaving foolishly, he's looking at us. And when I say we, your soul, when it's behaving foolishly, your spirit knows. Your spirit knows who you should marry, who you shouldn't marry. Your spirit knows you shouldn't buy a car. Not because they put the knowledge of a car there. There is no car in your spirit. It's wisdom. Your spirit is just wise by the wisdom of Christ that is in your spirit. He knows a car now is a wrong step. There is no child in your spirit. He just knows by wisdom of life that you should have 3 children. He just knows by wisdom of life, like Reverend Busi, you say, maybe like Pastor Razak, you should have 7 children. Your spirit knows. What makes the life in your spirit flows out more is when your soul is also being given life. That's the reason why when we are born again, there is a different life, a different wisdom in our soul. That's why the life in our spirit is shut out. It can't come out. So they need to now teach the soul. They need to now instruct the soul. So I'm saying that Adam in the beginning, for example, attestation to the fact that blessing is life. Revelations 1 verse 3. He said, blessed is he that readeth. And they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written. Now, he that readeth, you understand, he's not just talking about casual reading. I mean, he who is consciously wanting to understand the prophecy is he who is reading. Then they who hear are those who understand. He said, for faith cometh by hearing, not by reading. You read, you are probing. But faith, the understanding, he said, through faith, we understand. So when faith comes, understanding has come. So you can actually say, if you want to take, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 31, if you want to bring it into Revelations 1, 3, you want to compare notes. When wisdom comes in Revelations 1, verse 3, comparing it with, 1 Corinthians 1, 30, is when you begin to hear. When you hear, wisdom comes. He said, and those who keep those things that are written therein, those who keep are those who do. And doing, if you do it to the end, doing begins, encapsulates, you see righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I'm using it in the light of faith, even though it's more than that. So in reality, when understanding comes, we hear. When understanding comes, wisdom is given. When understanding comes, life is given. So Adam's spirit in a figure had life. Let's say amen. Amen. In a figure, God put blessing in Adam's soul. So Adam, if you see him before God, let's assume you were there when God created Adam in Genesis chapter 1, 27, 28. Before you go to chapter 2. When you see Adam, that man is a life man. He had life. His spirit had life. His soul, his mind, his heart, his conscience had life. But God now further put him into a body in Genesis 2:7, then added more life. Now, where did they put the life? In the same soul. Because it didn't say an Adam became a living body. No, he became a living soul. So where am I going with it? When God gave life to his spirit in a figure, in a type, Adam was justified. Because what makes you or me just before God is life. So in Adam's spirit, not just in his spirit, even in his soul, he was justified. Let's say amen. You know, I'm trying to ask a question, answer a question. How did we come to needing justification in the first place? Where did we lose our justification from? So in the beginning, Adam had justification. He had justification by faith or by blessing. Blessing is a carrier of life, if it is the blessing of God. Now in the New Testament, we too have been blessed. Everyone who is born again, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. You can also say we are the life of God in Christ. Colossians 2 puts it this way. He said, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. So Christ is our life. You can also say it this way. You understand? We are the blessing of God in Christ. You can say we are the wisdom of God in our spirit in Christ. You can say we are the power of God in our spirit in Christ. Why? Because we were quickened together with him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, as in Adam, all died. He said, so also in Christ shall all be quickened or made alive. So that death that happened to Adam's spirit, invariably in the long run, happened to every man's spirit. But when God quickened Christ, because it was Adam that disobeyed, that killed the spirit of Adam, and potentially the spirit of everyone in the human race. So Christ came and paid the price. Him who knew no sin. God made him sin for us, not for himself. So that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What's the righteousness of God? The life of God. But we are not made the righteousness of God outside of him. It is in him when we were quickened. So when we needed justification in the first place was when Adam died in his spirit. Yeah. When Adam died in his spirit, man's first need for justification became imminent. Because God told him in Genesis 2 verse 17, in the day, everybody say the day. Not the week, not the month. So when he said the day, he means that same moment. He's talking about spirit. Because the soul doesn't die in one day. So God told him in Genesis 2, you know, verse 17, you understand? He said, in the day you eat thereof, you will surely die. So when we came into needing justification, first of all, for our spirit, was when Adam and his wife took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they died in their spirit. So man needed justification in their spirit. That was the time it became a need. Angels must have been like, kai, kai, they missed it. Imagine one angel, sorry, my mind, talking to another angel. Justification has gone. Kai, man lost justification in their spirit. He should have just not done this. Then before you know, God quickly moved in. The spirit has been killed. Then God quickly moved in and began to make sure the soul is not killed. Because the spirit dies instantly. Your spirit lives instantly, even when it is quickened. And it died instantly, you understand, you know, when Satan came in. So the moment God saw that Adam had died in his spirit, immediately God moved in Genesis chapter 3, you understand, you know, and God clothed, made coats of skin. You know, that the ego thought it like this. He said, you know, God physically, you know, of course, when they fell by taking of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Let's read it, chapter 3 of Genesis. An interesting thought. Chapter 3 of Genesis. Verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves. Now this is a sign. How many of you have been there before? Maybe as children, we did it as children. You did something bad. I have some people here in the studio. You stole meat or money. Then when your parents come, your attitude changes. For them, they eat. Our items are diverse, depending on our different parents. Some people, they will not be over-righteous. All the things they will be telling him to do, he will not be doing everything. He stole 3 meats out of 4. Then, you know, you just see him, the guy is just, you know, quiet. He's just sitting down. Even the mom looks at him and be like, are you okay? I'm okay. The mom will go inside and say, something is wrong. That your son, he has done something. He has done something. I remember one time growing up, you understand, my dad, you know, used to have, you know, he wasn't born again until the later part of his life, almost close to the time he was going to, you know, go to be with the Lord. You understand? That was when he got born again. So, you know, Yoruba man, he does agbo, all those kind of agbo. They would tell, one particular type of agbo, they say the base of the pot should not touch ground. Those kind of things used to confuse me as a child. Why should it not touch ground? Should it be hanging in the air? So he now said, he put the agbo on the fire, the pot, those kind of calabash pots, and warned me. Everybody say, warned me. Don't touch it. He said, no matter how it is over boiling, leave it. Don't touch. And he kept saying it. Don't touch it, oh. Don't touch. And he said it and said, I was wondering, why is he saying don't touch it? I will not touch it. Fast forward. Hours later, he has gone out. The tea was boiling and pouring on the stove. Everywhere. And I'm going to wash the stove. So I was just looking. This thing will off the stove. Let me help him. Maybe he overstayed. Not planning. I'm sure he wouldn't put something on the fire for hours. Then I carried the agbo from the stove. You understand? Just to put it on the ground. But you know what? The cloth I used to carry it, I did not hold it very well. So the thing now started burning me. So I just quickly rushed and wanted to drop it. As I dropped, boom, I just said, boom. I saw water leaking. Hey. I just know I have died. I know that, you know, something that we know that we have passed. I just know I am gone. I just left the pot. Like, I came out of the house, I didn't know where to run to. Whether I should run to this side of the street or run to this side, I didn't know, because I was like, who told me? Oh, who sent me? He told me. I was telling myself, he told me not to bring it down. He told me. I entered the house. I came out. I entered the house. All of a sudden, while I was inside the house, one of those, I just saw him passing, entering. Hey! He flogged me. You know, some flogging is a memorial. If you are a child, yeah, some flogging is a memorial. He flogged me until I became sick. Then went to church. He's doing agbo. He's going to church. And he didn't tell them what he did in church. He just told them that he flogged me. You understand? You know, it was Cherubim and Seraphim church were going. Then he eventually told one of the alagba that it's because of, you know, he put agbo on the fire that he wanted to use to treat malaria. I'm not sure that was it. You understand? You know, that's, you know, I now broke the pot. That was why he flogged me. The man now told him, he said, it's possible that thing would have hurt you. Maybe God just, that was that God used that man. Because that flogging can continue for days. That maybe God used him to deliver you. Maybe there is something poisonous. He said, That was how I got off the hook. Now, for, you know, so why was I uncomfortable? I lost right standing by doing something wrong. Now, it's not just what the right standing externally. In my mind, I knew I was not on the good ground with him at that moment. Now, when Adam and Eve, when they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they knew the basis for having a right standing with God, first of all, in their spirit, was removed. They knew they died. Adam is a high man. He knew he had died in his spirit. Not just that, even knowledge of sin and death has entered in a seed form. And the knowledge that entered now taught them that they should clothe themselves. That by clothing themselves, they will be right. They will be okay before God. Of course, there was fear. They were afraid. Now, when God saw them, he rebuked them. He brought forth judgment. You understand? Judged this, the serpent. Brought, you understand, consequences of their action to Adam, to his wife. Then he looked at them and discovered that if the way you are dressed, you are not right. Then he now recloted them. Then Daddy Egoke said, now the physical clothing of coats of skin, Genesis 3:21. He said, God, you understand, made coats of skin. That means animal skin. Kenyon said, it's animal skin. God killed an animal and clothed man, Adam and his wife. Now that thing was not, first of all, a physical clothing. God did something in their soul. All Old Testament, God won't put something upon you if he has not done something within you. Before that time, they had something on them. But he said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God or the covering of God. There was something that was on Adam and his wife. They might be physically naked in the garden, but they were wearing a glory that they did not see that they were naked. But they ate into something that now showed them they were naked. And the thing was now showing them what is right. And God looked at them and said, no, this is not right. He clothed them without, having clothed them within. Now, the ego can say that clothing within is a work that will not allow sin that has entered their spirit to prosper into their soul. Let's say amen.
Amen.
So they were actually thinking righteousness, but in a wrong direction. So God, for the first time, after the way he made them originally, came to intervene on what is right. Not in their spirit, because their spirit was already dead. And what will remedy the death in the spirit cannot be done until they see a pure lamb, which Jesus Christ our Lord became about almost 4,000 years later. But the death, lack of justification in a measure in their soul, God had to rearrange it. God brought in knowledge. God taught them things, man. He puts certain knowledge in them. By that knowledge, the same way, ma, we have a knowledge in our soul that is not allowing the life of God in our spirit come out. Am I saying the truth?
Yes.
You know the knowledge of, for example, ambition, for example, in the soul will not allow the life of meekness in the spirit come out. If you can take away the soul, the spirit will behave differently. But because of a wrong knowledge in our soul, our spirit life cannot come out. So they need to teach our soul, convince it, teach it, instruct it, give it grace. So the more it yields, the more spirit life comes out. The more it becomes easy. It's like that negative on our soul, positive in our spirit. But in the beginning, it was negative in the spirit when Adam sinned. But so much positive, meaning there was so much life in his soul. He could still hear God without tongues and interpretation. Even Cain, as stubborn as he was, he could still hear God after having killed his brother, because there was so much life in their soul. So God actually put life in their soul, Adam and Eve, to limit death in the spirit. So that death in the spirit will not hasten into the soul and therefore into the body. Let's say amen.
Amen.
So, you know, the point wherein we needed justification, first of all, was when they took of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It killed their spirit. Then God, now the first time God would deliberately, after what he made in creation, bring intervention of justification, was when he put knowledge in the soul and clothed man after that knowledge. He clothed man after that knowledge. Now in that season, the knowledge that God gave to man, you understand, was a knowledge that held his soul against sin that was in his spirit. Then God clothed him bodily. Let's say amen. Hallelujah. Some things to note, you understand? Just answer that question. I hope I answered it very, very well. I believe it's clear. Let's say amen.
Amen.
Some things to note about justification. You know, our spirits had been justified or declared and made righteous by the new birth. Let's say amen.
Amen.
Everybody say, my spirit.
My spirit.
Now, it is good. You know, some people not knowing this very well. If a believer, let me rephrase it, doesn't know this very well, and almost immediately they get born again, begin to hear message of salvation of the soul, they might be more prone to spirits of condemnation. Because the teaching around the salvation of the soul is a lot of warfare, wherein evil spirits come to condemn you. on the basis of the work the Lord is doing in your soul. It's not God condemning you. It's evil spirit. You are not growing, for example. How many of us have evil spirit condemn you are not growing? They can even do comparative condemnation. Pastor Razak is growing. You are not growing. See what Daddy said about Pastor Razak. You understand? Razak is changing since he came into this work. I've noticed in 3 years, the amount of grace that God has poured on Razak, you understand? I've not seen it, you understand? It makes me remember the good old days when I was growing up. And, Pastor Razak would just be like this. Then some people who probably God has helped might not mind. You'll be thanking God for Pastor Razak. Why some other person will be like, I have not grown. I was here before Pastor Razak. 3 years before he came, he had spent half of the time, you understand? I have been here 6 years. I've been here 6 years. He's been here 3 years, and he has so much grown. Every time that he sees me, Daddy will pat me on the back, just say, grow, 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 grow. He has never told me that, you understand, I am growing or I have grown. He's, you understand, because I'm not doing well. Are you sure this message is for me? You understand? Evil spirit do that to weaken us. And most times, can I tell you this, is when you are growing, most times that they tell you the post. Is that time when you are growing? If you are not growing, they won't bother you. They want you to continue with that speed level and go in the direction of what is wrong. But when you are doing what is right, you need to fight more because they want to depress you to change gear of that flow you are demonstrating. Now, the reason why a person needs to understand what has been done in our spirit very, very well is because it will serve as a springboard for you to know that you are already justified. New creation realities is not evil. It's not bad. Because it's what the Lord did in our spirit. And we're never, in the context of the waters of the word of righteousness, I listened to maybe like City Gate Church, Cutting Edge Ministry, City Gate Church in recent times of their Sunday school. They went back to those basics that Ibusi told us. I've followed it for some weeks too. He went back to basics around the Holy Ghost. Basics. You understand? He said he just felt that some people who are in the community lack the basics. You understand? The basics of you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are. To throw that away or to be ignorant of that, you allow evil spirit plunder you. What they want to do in your soul with regards to Christ's life, they've already done it in your spirit. I remember this testimony, and I feel somewhere the same way the Lord is so much more jealous of what he wants to do in our soul, he is also jealous of what he did in our spirit. The reason why at times you find ministers who teach out of righteousness wanting to put a balance is because some people took the work that has been done in the spirit. They took it overboard. Like if that's all that Jesus did. And they fight against further growth in the soul. Transformation of the mind. Conforming to the image of God. Christ being formed in you. They don't want to hear that. All they want to know is that you are Christ. You are alive. You are seated. You are the Son of God. You are this. You are that. And they deny other aspects of the scripture. That's where you find a good minister will say, you understand, once shaved is not always shaved. Like I was combing my hair outside. I was looking at my beard. I said, I need to shave. But I shaved some 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, thereabouts. You understand? So to say once saved is always saved. So to say once shaved is always shaved. And it's not true. You understand? Our spirit is justified. I remember this testimony. I find it in my spirit. God's servant of blessed memory, Reverend Kenneth E. Egan. One of those, when the Lord gave him that special anointing for healing in Rockwell, Texas, 1950, when he was caught up to heaven. He was caught up to heaven. And of course, he got there. He was trying to look at the face of God who sat on the throne. And the Lord Jesus told him, take your eyes off him. Then he said, he stood up. Then he fell down. He looked into Jesus' eyes. He took his eyes away from the throne and him who sat on it and the four living creatures. Then he looked at Jesus. He said he looked into his eyes. He said, and the moment he looked into his eyes, he said he saw into his eyes. He said his eyes looked like living wells of love. He said the love was so much, he fell down and began to say, I am not worthy. I am not worthy. I'm a sinner. I am not worthy. Is that a bad thing to say? Answer me, is that a bad thing to say? It's not a bad thing. I would say it. But Jesus now put, Jesus took, I wish I had that kind of experience. Jesus now put his hands on him. Now, they took him up to heaven. His body was on earth. Understand the context of the vision. He was on the bed. No, he was in a church. The rain was falling. He was, they were all praying. He kept hearing, come up here. First time, come up either. Second time, he thought maybe somebody is at the top of the building making noise. Then the third time, he had come up either. He looked up and he saw Jesus. And Jesus Christ told him, come up either, come up to the throne of God. And his body was still there. His spirit soul went up to heaven. So it is his spirit soul that was in heaven. And he was screaming. Don't forget, he is spirit. He has a soul. He lives in a body. That's man. So he was screaming, I am not worthy. I'm a sinner. Then Jesus picked him up. Then point him in his face. He said, Jesus' hand was almost touching his head. And told him, you are worthy. Because I have made you worthy. No, you'll be like, was Jesus lying? No. His spirit is worthy. Have you tried paying for something? You paid for with your hard-earned money. Then you see somebody spoiling it. How do you feel? Those who have cars, for example, you just painted the car. I can relate with that. Then, as you painted it, it's like it's not a new car. You just painted it. You glorified it by painting it. All of a sudden, any child you see around that car, Mama, if you ever me warm no more, you go come out and say, "Moto, Mama, please help me tell your child. You should not go. If anything happens, I will call your attention to it. Just help me encourage them, threaten them for me not to go around the car." Like in my neighborhood, before I painted the car, come and see the sign signature on the car. I will just come back. Bro, Ben will take it, we'll go and spray it. Before you come again, the sign signature. So when we painted it, I came out. I made sure I was walking around that area so that they will know that something has happened to this car. Because I don't want that kind of signature. It will not just be signing on car, it will be signing on my soul somewhere. So I just was like, looking at their house, looking at it. Don't try it. Don't try it. Why? I paid for it. Now, Jesus paid the price for our spirit. Now, your spirit is life. Now, you are to learn life with your soul, but don't throw away what has been done in your spirit. If you are ignorant of it, Satan and evil spirits will cheat you on many grounds. Your spirit has been justified. How? By being quickened together with Christ. When you believe the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and confess that God raised him from the dead, your spirit came into the finished work that God did. It was God who raised Christ from the dead. It was God who quickened him. And they didn't do 50% of what they did in his spirit, in your spirit. They did 100% in Christ, of what they did in Christ's spirit, in your spirit. So your spirit is just. You deal with demons on the basis of what you've done in your spirit with the name of Jesus. Imagine demon oppressing a believer and you are like, I can't deal with it. Even angels will be angry. Because why? You have overcome them somewhere. And you are not meant to suffer the lack of that thing that has been done in your spirit. You have a just ground to come to God and pray. Some people will be like, I can't pray. And if I pray, am I sure God will hear you? Even if you don't know any scripture. The fact that you know how to use the name of Jesus. If you pray, God will hear you. Why? Your spirit was quickened. It's not dead. It's not a dead man. Your spirit is life. So when Jesus was raised from the dead, our spirit was quickened together. So don't throw that away. Don't throw that away. We should hold that. And you understand, many times that I find I need to cast out devils. You understand? I remember one time I was praying for someone. You understand? I knew there's a spirit inside the person. Now, if I didn't know, somebody would be like, but, I have not completed the curriculum of charity. I don't know whether I can, cast out this evil spirit. You don't need it. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Finish. Did you believe with your heart? And confess with your mouth, then cast the thing out. Tell him, get out. You don't even have to do it systematically. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I appreciate you because I know I want to cast out this evil spirit and I know anything I say in you. No. That process is too long. You understand? Well, you, in the name of Jesus, go out. In the name of Jesus. It's in the name. You have right to the use of that name. Why? You were raised together with him. He did it for you. Don't let that aspect of what has been done to be wasted. Left to the devil, both the spirit, soul, body, we should be ignorant of all of it. So we should not now cooperate. When we are learning the soul, it's good to know what has happened in our spirit. Your spirit has been justified. It has been raised. You know what our scripture puts it? He said we are seated in heavenly places in Christ. He's in Christ. We are not on the throne, but we are in Christ. So it's good to know. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. Know you can talk to God. He will hear you. Know you have a just, righteous ground with God. Why some people do it overboard, neglecting other aspects of scriptures? We should not now focus on the soul and neglect what has been done in our spirit. Let it be the foundation. Let it be that you know you have been justified. You are in a bus, the bus is shaking, or you are in the plane. You just be like, hey, no. Father, in the name of Jesus. Evil spirit can tell you that he don't forgive your husband yesterday. You understand? You just look at the evil spirit. He's lying. He's lying. You don't need to have totally forgiven your husband, all the brethren, love all the brethren, to deal with that. In the name of Jesus, Father, I commit this plane into your hands. You give your aid. You talk to God because you have a just ground. He will hear you. So one thing to know, you understand, is that our spirit has been justified. Let's read Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, still on the matter of justification. Taking it from, you understand, the basics so that we'll not leave anywhere unattended to, in a measure. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. I read, "For if when we were enemies," this is when we are not born again, "we were reconciled to God by the death of his son." Everybody say, when we were enemies.
When were we enemies?
When we weren't born again. If you put this scripture into proper context, all humanity were enemies until Jesus was raised from the dead. So when he died on the cross, he said, him, 2 Corinthians 5:21, him who knew no sin, God made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, our spirit. So he didn't know sin. So when God made him sin, God did not make him sin for himself. He didn't need it. He could have just passed through the earth, entire everlasting life, eternal life, and gone. But when he entered everlasting life, attained everlasting life, they stopped him. They hung him on the cross. They commanded him. He obeyed God. He did not open his mouth. You know, they put him on the cross. And his spirit was made sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God. Now, Romans 5:10 again. He said, "For if," that's the word, "when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son." So when Jesus Christ died, sir, we were reconciled. When he said, "It is finished," he paid a price, we were reconciled. Then he went to finish. He finished an aspect on the cross. Then he went to hell, Jonah's parable, and suffered in the belly of hell for 3 days. Then they raised him up on the third day. When they were raising him, they first of all raised the spirit. You understand? Of course, his soul had life. Then that spirit soul touched the body in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And the body came into life eternal. Then he came out. So when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. He now went, comma. He said, much more being reconciled. Now, what does it mean by being reconciled? Verse 1 of this chapter 5. Verse 1. Therefore, being justified by this faith of the Son. So in that verse 10, give me verse 10 again. He talked about our spirit, verse 10. He talked about our soul being justified by faith. Then he talked about everlasting life. Read it again. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. That, you know, is for our spirit. He now said much more. That means this one is more than being reconciled to God, which is what happened to our spirit. Eh? Much more. It's not just more. Much more. Being reconciled. That's present continuous tense. You can take that, you know, in verse 1. Being justified by faith. You understand? We have peace with God. What justifies us by faith here is the doctrine of Christ. And who is being justified in verse 1 of chapter 5 is the soul, not the spirit. But for the soul to be justified, the spirit has to be reconciled first. And we are reconciled with the spirit, in our spirit. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. We believe with our hearts the Lord Jesus. And we confess with our mouth that God has raised him from the dead. We are saved. When we do that, we are reconciled to God. Then verse 10 again of chapter 5 of Romans. You understand? He said, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So what I'm looking for here is that first one. We have been justified or reconciled. So everyone has been reconciled, you know, by Jesus' death and resurrection. Justification was made available for every human spirit. How do any man comes into it? Believe with your heart. Like Reverend Ken did at Single Summit. So quite a handful of people, very beautifully. I was just looking at them, you know, maybe something was on that meeting. I was remembering when I gave my life to Christ over 20 years ago. You understand? I was just looking back and I was just, you know, wondering, you understand? I was looking at these people who began a journey today. They too don't understand what they've started in that kind of ground. They didn't get born again on a crusade ground in a high platform like that. I can assure you things happened to them. I was standing when they said they should go. I was looking at all of them that God has born people again. People have been added to the church, such as should be saved. You get it? So our spirit has been justified, or Romans calls it reconciled. And they use different languages depending on the burden of the spirit upon their soul. Let's say amen.
Amen.
So the first thing to note about, you understand, you know, justification is that the spirit of everyone who is born again has been justified. And it happened instantaneously. Everybody say instantaneously. Your spirit salvation, my spirit salvation, being born again, new birth, is not procedural. It's not step by step. In a nanosecond. If you can divide a nanosecond into 1 billion places, the split of it, the moment you say it, speed that is not human, that is not heavenly, is used. The Holy Ghost rushes into you, passes your body, passes your soul, and recreates your spirit. All the cells of your spirit, all the elements of your spirit, they rebirth them. They are now new. In the realm of the spirit, when angels look at you, they see there is a new man there. That's that most times we are the ones that are ignorant of it. We are more ignorant of what has been done. That's where teaching now comes in. Let's say amen.
Amen.
Another thing to note with justification is that after the justification of our spirits, because it's a very broad ground, you can talk about it so much from the Old Testament, but for the purpose of our lesson, you know, study of the book of Galatians, after the justification of our spirit, they begin the process of justifying the soul. Let's say amen.
Amen.
It's good to know our soul, at the time wherein we were born again, hasn't been justified. It was purchased to be justified. Acts chapter 20, I guess verse 28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed, Paul is talking to pastors, therefore, you know, in Ephesus, elders, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Can we read the last part together? To feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. Now, our spirit was not purchased with blood. Our spirit, you know, came into life because of the death of Jesus. Jesus died and rose for our spirit to come into life. But our soul was purchased with blood. You know those things, if you don't put them in their proper perspective, things will be muddled up. They didn't wash our spirit, as it were. You understand? They gave birth to it. Of course, the activity of the Holy Spirit upon our spirit is some kind of washing, but not washing as in with blood. It's the Spirit of God using life to overwhelm our spirit for the life of Jesus, which is stored in wisdom, which is stored in nature, to be deposited not just in our spirit, but for our spirit to become life in itself. But the soul needs to be washed. So what the Spirit of what God did was that when they were, Jesus died on the cross, rose, they gave birth to our spirit with the quickening of, Jesus' spirit, our soul, they took blood into the tabernacle in the heavens to pay the price for our soul. So he told them, give attention to yourselves. As good pastors, don't give attention to any other thing. If you give attention to any other thing, you might not do well taking care of the flock. Give attention to your own soul. That's what it means. And to the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost have made you overseer, to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. God purchased it. He didn't give Satan the blood. He used the blood to, fulfill rites, rituals in the heavens, so that our souls will come to those places. Let's say amen.
Amen.
So justification, you understand, after the justification of our spirit in the new birth, our soul needs to come into being justified. Now, when you say the soul, let's expand it some. The mind needs justification. The heart needs justification. Conscience needs justification. Justification, you know the way you soak garri in water? That, you understand, garri means cassava flakes in this part of the world. To make it, plain for those who probably don't know what is garri, you understand? What does this pastor mean by garri? You understand? Garri is cassava that is grounded and made to pass two processes that now became something white or yellow that you can actually mix with hot water and, one solid thing that draws, if it's yellow, comes out, or white thing that you eat with spoon comes out, you understand? It's flaky cassava. You understand? That's garri. When you soak garri in water and, you understand, it becomes one with the water. They want our soul to be so soaked with justification. Not the justification of claiming, like Daddy said last week, that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I know who I am. That's, you are claiming what has been done in your spirit. That does not bring justification to the soul. Now, it's good to explain things a little here. Justification is justification because of the person who is to be satisfied on the ground of justification. Now, it's not justification because I just take scriptures and I quote what God has done in me. No. If you say, okay, to be declared righteous, before who are we declared righteous? It is justification when you bring him who should be satisfied. Because for the issue of justification to be in view, somebody needs to be satisfied. If he is not pleased, there ain't any justification. Let's read one scripture, James, for example. James chapter 2. Though he's talking about something high, but I want to draw an inference. James chapter 2, verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Shew me thy faith without works, and I will shew thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered up Isaac upon the altar? Let's say amen.
Amen.
Now, Abraham had faith. The communication, God told him things. If faith cometh by hearing, God has revealed things to Abraham. But that things he heard did not make for justification. Don't forget, justification means to be declared righteous or right. So the issue of justification is not without a being that is to be pleased. It's not just that I take scriptures and I am quoting what I am in my spirit. It's if it is what our ability to quote it in confidence and boldness and move in that boldness, if that is all that is required, then there will be no problem. But there is somebody to be pleased. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. There is somebody to be pleased. So justification, you understand, you know, has to do with a standard measured out to the soul through doctrine of faith. And the soul does that standard. When it does it, then God is the one who will say, this soul is justified. Give me that Romans 10, 5 verse 10 again. Give me verse 1. Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore, being present continuous tense, justified by faith. It's a present continuous faith. He said, we have peace with God. So there is God. If we are not justified, we won't have peace with God. So there is a superior being who determines whether, who marks the script of justification. So it's not anything that I do that is right that makes me justified before him. Now, Daddy began talking about many kinds of teaching. Of course, there are some teachings that doesn't even come around the issue of justification. There are some, for example, Daddy talked about the need, something that, how did Daddy call it? Need-oriented message, teaching, preaching, gospel. That never can never justify anybody before God. God who is righteous, God who owns all the planets, who one day burn it with fire, who burn pure diamonds that are stars, you burn them with fire. Then you are now saying because you are rich, you feel maybe it's because this, your being rich is an indication that you are living a right life with God. 1,000 times no. 1,000. As a matter of fact, we should not measure ourselves, even in truth. You know, it might be like maybe because I'm in the faith of the Sun Company, I bought 3 cars. You understand? I have 2 houses. You understand? This, then maybe, you know, because you say as you're so prosperous. You understand? You understand? You know, your natural will prosper. Don't, if people judge you like that, don't judge yourself like that.
Yes, sir.
Judge yourself by your obedience.
Yes, sir.
Check your spirit. Weigh your spirit. You know, draw close to your pastors. Let them evaluate you. Because though our parents might not judge like the Lord, but they have good judgment,
yes,
about our soul progress.
Yes.
Let's say amen.
Amen.
So justification is not us just doing anything. Now we have a portion of the body and the Lord raised them and the Lord is still using them. Let's say amen.
Amen.
So they might teach you things like maybe second work of sanctification. Meaning the first work is that you are born again. Then the second work is that, you understand, you maybe you do some things, some, you know, some of them you'd find things like, what do they call this thing? Maybe now that you are born again, all the things you have taken, if you are restitution, is part of, in some quarters, second work of, you know, sanctification. By sanctification, they mean, you know, your person being sanctified after you are born again. They actually mean soul salvation. They might not call it that, but that's what they are trying to achieve. Then they have teachings. You understand? Don't wear your ring. Am I saying there's anything wrong with it? And there are people who are in truth who don't wear your ring. Let's say amen.
Amen.
I know people who understand very well that your ring does not mean anything wrong. I mean, they have light, anointed, full of light. They wear trousers, but they don't wear a ring. Some don't wear a ring, they don't wear trousers. It doesn't mean that maybe if you are not wearing a ring now, if you are not wearing trousers, you are not up to. No, you can still choose not to. Let's say amen.
Amen.
It's not in the trouser, it's not outside the trouser. It's about what is being done in you. But I'm just saying that for this sake. So people, they will tell you, don't wear earring, don't wear trouser, don't use lipstick, don't wear wig, don't have TV, don't, you understand? All of that is with good intention at the level of the supply of God's word at in a season. Eh? And all of that was geared towards being justified before God. Now, in a measure, in those times, because God hasn't brought up higher demands, God use that. God anointed it. Thank you, Pastor Pope. God anointed it. He anointed it. You find in such places the witness of the Spirit. The witness is still there. But it's just that God has now revealed much more clearer truth about sanctification, which is locked up in the doctrine of justification.
Yes,
What's the doctrine of justification? The preaching of the faith of the Son of God. Galatians 2 verse 16. Just help me put it on understand. The teaching of the faith of the Son of God is the teaching of the doctrine of justification. Galatians 2, 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus. Now, some people take this scripture. Now, I talk about those who, teach sanctification, second work of sanctification, as in things you do and don't do. You don't go wear this, you don't do that, you don't do this. And they will tell you in doing those things, you are being sanctified or justified. It's good, but that is not the absolute truth. Let's say amen. Amen. Now, there are some other people who tell you, who will teach this scripture and tell you that, you understand, justification is to know what God has done for you in Christ. They remove the works. You know the first one, they preach works. Anything that they feel would easily make a person fall into sin or make us look like the world, we avoid it. If they are using lipstick in the world, don't use it. If they are back in the days, many years ago, many of us are still young. Eh? We even watch TV. I watched one interview recently, just last week. I don't know how many of us watched it. Archbishop Benson Idahosa was interviewing Pa Elton. You understand? And, because Archbishop is one of those in the 70s that began clamoring that believers can watch TV. Because there were movements in Nigeria, Scripture Union and some other movement, who were like, don't watch TV. It's the devil's box. But Archbishop was preaching on the TV. So he wanted to confirm from that father in the Lord, Pa Elton, who was a father then in the body, you understand, that what do you say about TV? Can TV and radio be used to broadcast the gospel? You understand? And Pa Elton answered. He said, yes. He said, of course, you understand, the devil uses it. He said, but it can be used much more to further the gospel. Now, why were people, believers then, avoiding it? Because a lot of devilish things were coming out from it. Don't blame them. If we were there, it would have been me, my type of soul. I would have been in the forefront. Don't even look at the TV. Even if it's off, don't look at it. Something can jump out and enter you. Amen.
Amen.
So in interview, and Payette said, no, you can use it. We should use it to brother. That it's not the TV that has evil. That it is the man. Payette said, he said it's the man that has evil. He said he's the man who does not have discretion enough to know when to turn off the TV. If the evil is in him, it's not in the TV. So some people believe, don't do this, don't wear this, don't do this, don't do that. Why some other people believe it has been done? No works. And they condemn Apostle James. They say Apostle James is a lawman. Because James talks about, faith without works is dead, being alone. And our faith is justified by works. Of course, James is talking about everlasting life, the faith of everlasting life. But the same principle applies even in the faith of Christ. So it's good to know, you understand, both those who teach it as works, more of works, abstinence of the flesh, discipline of the flesh, which was good in a season when light hasn't come. And those who teach that, no, you don't have to do anything, just confess it and walk in the consciousness of what Christ has done. Both are not balanced, robust, and full biblical teaching on the issue of justification. What the Bible teaches on justification is doctrine. Doctrine. Can everyone say doctrine?
Doctrine.
To be justified in our soul, we need to be taught the doctrine of Christ. Let's say amen.
Amen.
Now, somebody might ask, why would you need doctrine to be justified? Can I say this? What made us unjustified was a twisted doctrine. It is not doings that made us unjustified. It is a knowledge. Everybody say knowledge.
Knowledge.
It's knowledge. It's knowledge. As by one man's disobedience, Romans 5 verse 12, sin entered into the world and death by sin. The thing that makes the world behave the way the world is behaving is sin. It's a knowledge. If you don't remove that knowledge, you are trying to attack the do's and don'ts without. You will never nip sin. The sin will be evolving, will be morphing, and you will never catch up. So in the New Testament, God now gave the doctrine of life. That thing that our spirit became at the new birth, the full doctrine or the full teaching of that thing, they brought it as the faith of the Son. Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. This is Paul speaking. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Why is it, I live? Because it's life. It's not his spirit he's talking about. Now, new creation reality people, rephrase this scripture. You know me, I was a new creation person before. If you never knew, know it. So I understand many angles of new creation thought. A new creation man will tell you, this verse of scripture is not correct. They will tell you it should have been rendered, I was crucified with Christ. Because it's past tense. But no. You compare scriptures with scriptures. In Galatians 3, just two or three verses later. Let's read it. Galatians 3, two or three verses later. Galatians. Where he talked about, before whose eyes Christ was, that's verse 1. Galatians 3, verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians. Now they killed Jesus in Israel. In the land of Israel. Not on Gentile ground. But Paul is talking to these people. Oh, foolish Galatians. Who had bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth or revealed. Crucified among you. So you'll be wondering, was Jesus Christ killed in their midst? No, 1,000 times no. 1,000 times no. Jesus was killed in Israel by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, Herod, Pilate, and they came together, they killed him as it were. But by preaching, they first of all preached Jesus Christ. They brought Paul through mouth, preached a man, he appeared to them. He preached a man in chapter 4. I think verse 20 or 21 or 22. He said, my little children, in whom I travail in birth. Again, 19. Until Christ be formed. So he preached the formation of Christ into them. Meaning, from his feet level to his head level, Paul was preaching. What God wants to do is to raise people like Paul. When I look at that, they go, okay, I see another Paul.
Amen.
And that he can preach every day for 365 days. Try it and you'll die. Apart from the fact that you would have embarrassed yourself, because at some point people will be looking at you, like, "Kinlun saw. What is this saying? This is what he said 3 days ago. We are tired." Yeah, when people are tired of you, when you are preaching, there are different ways to show it. There are different expressions. I try to say, "Pastor." You get it? But he preached until Christ was formed in them. Let's say amen.
Amen.
Then he didn't just only form it in them. He said evidently set forth, crucified. Now that crucifixion is the works.
Yes,
you mean preach until they saw Jesus Christ. Then he now preached until Jesus Christ was crucified. Now why was he preaching Jesus Christ until he was set forth? He was set forth, then crucified. Because why? He wants Jesus Christ to be revealed. Meaning, have the doctrine or have the wisdom. Then him crucified. Inside crucifixion, first thing you will find is righteousness. Because the Holy Ghost is the one who brings the wisdom of crucifixion. You know, Jesus dying on the cross was an obedience. And that obedience was first of all revealed. He started telling his disciples, Son of Man will be killed. And Peter took him and was rebuking him. No, they raised a righteous standard for him. So wisdom is the evidently setting forth of Christ. You can't deny it. Paul from the law and the prophet, he preached Christ. Genesis down to Malachi. Until they saw him, they now say, crucified. Crucified means that you will see the righteousness. Because I'm not lying to you. You and I, if you have been doing the message, you will know. When message is coming, wow! Different people have reactionary tongue. My own is wow. It's not a tongue. I told Pastor Mike during single summit, his reactionary tongue, cabana. Every time they say, Pastor Mike, cabana. I just turn back. I say, this cabana, what does it mean? We all know Calabar. Pastor says in Paul. Is it Calabar? Those days he made Calabar popular. Just say, Calabar is reaction. Now, after we react to light, wisdom, beautiful scriptures arranging, then they move us to righteousness. Now, if all you have is wisdom, you have not come into justification. You have only taken the first step towards justification by being wise. And if you are not careful, that wisdom can become foolish in your hand. So when Christ is revealed, evidently, wisdom has been given. But for power, because Christ is the wisdom of God, then he's also the power. The next three in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. You see, you understand, sanctification, righteousness, sanctification and redemption is demonstration of power. It takes power, Pastor Pope. That maybe God has shown you light all of a sudden in a season as you're relating with your wife. You just saw light opening. The book of Colossians is just opening to you in an unusual manner. Even an angel came to your house and is helping you. Light upon light. And the thing is so deep. Maybe even while you are driving, tears is just coming down. Just be like, God, the mystery of Christ. Kai, the mystery of Christ. You know, all of that light came. Just wait. They never finish the story. A time will come. You will just find righteous, new righteous standard. They are the righteous standard of that life. That life that was stored in wisdom, it has what is how it should be done. So, and that how it should be done is power. You know a powerful man when he does righteousness. A weak man is a man who hears it and doesn't do it. So a powerful man is when the righteousness is measured out. When the Spirit of God begins to reveal righteous standard and you take step to do it, you are sanctified. Yeah. And if you complete the full circle of sanctification, meaning you obey, you know sometimes it's by obeying something once doesn't mean you are totally sanctified. Yeah. The Lord, you are used to talking too much under certain circumstances. Maybe when they start talking to about some bread, about brethren, even you that doesn't know too much about the brethren, you start contributing. Ah, that sister. Hey. You understand? You think people are growing. They are not growing. A child. She's a milk. Forget everlasting life we're hearing. That one milk. She has not taken milk. And while you are doing it, something is probing you. Stop. Now, there's somebody else there who knows worse things about that person. And the person is not talking. Not because something doesn't want to talk. But they've revealed a righteous standard. So the person will be like, hey, yeah, God, show mercy to her. She knows. But they have measured commandments to her. Now, for her, that's righteousness. Now, if she does it once, it doesn't mean she's totally sanctified. When she does it and does it until that thing that likes to talk dies, she's redeemed from that nature. So it has moved from righteousness to sanctification to redemption. But he cannot get to redemption if he does not first of all begin as righteousness. Righteousness is you being aware of the righteous standard of God. Now, when you do that righteous standard to redemption, meaning you are redeemed from that thing, even if they bring 1 million people and that person really did something bad and you are there and they are talking, you have been redeemed. You won't be able to talk. They've killed that mozu in your soul. You know, your hand can, you understand, some muscles in your hand, if they go flabby, you might not be able to pick it up. There's a rabbit call it pajak. You know, maybe you sit in the wrong way, you sleep in the wrong way, you now wake up in the morning, you can't carry your leg. You wait for life to enter that place. You understand? They can so redeem our soul that it will not be pajak, it will be death. Because pajak is, you can still wake up again. The thing will die. So Paul said, I am crucified. To be crucified means righteousness was revealed. Sanctification was attained by obeying righteousness. And he obeyed righteousness until redemption occurred. Then you can say that soul is living. Because the just shall live. You need to be justified to live. Living means it's now your normal life. If it is not your normal life, you have not attained justification. You are in the process. When it becomes your normal, unconscious reaction, it is your life. Romans 1 verse 17. For the just shall live by faith. So justification is the giving of doctrine. It begins with the giving of doctrine of Christ, the giving of the wisdom of God, the teaching of faith, hope, and charity. Let's say amen.
Amen.
Which, when we obey the ladders to redemption, righteousness, the Spirit of God brings righteous demand. He's the one who brings it. You don't know it. You don't know what is right to do according to that light. When you do righteousness, sanctification occurs in you. You are separated. But you should experience separation. Separation, 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 separation. Of course, I'm not lying to you. Separation is death. When we are experiencing sanctification, it's a dying. Maybe it's with you and your brother, for example. You normally get mad because he does something. And now the Spirit of God now said, you understand, that, and maybe you get mad to the point you talk. You talk, you report him to his brothers, to authority. You report, and when you report him, they will correct him. Sometimes authority might say, don't worry, we'll talk to him, and they might not talk to him. They're not talking to him, and he's so hindering him from making progress. You just pray for him and wait. Like Mommy Ellie will say, you just wait out some things. Like that. You understand? Then for you, you are mad. Sometimes you go to him and call him and say, can I just see you? You know, in this part of the faith of the Son that we are walking, you understand? We are all not mates. You understand? I remember when I was born again, because you know he was born again 10 years ago. I remember when I was born again, you understand, 16 years ago, when I started taking the milk of the word, you are bashing him. And of course, he himself is already, his water is already boiling, 95% degrees Celsius in the soul. He's already boiling. You know when water is boiling, till it's going up. You understand? You know, then maybe he gets to a point, he says, stop! What are you trying to say? Then before you know, you say you are getting angry. You provoked him. Then before you know, he's back and forth, back and forth. Now maybe the Lord now wants to deal with you. Now the thing he's doing, maybe you, the Lord expects more from you. Then he's still doing it. Then the Spirit of God comes to you and says, going forward, no matter what he does, do not talk to pastor, to house fellowship leader, to your wife. You know, commandment can go that far.
Yes,
to contain that sin.
Yes.
Eh? He says sometimes when people are offended, they say root of bitterness springing up, then many be defiled. Sometimes talking is spreading sin.
Yeah.
So the Spirit of God can check you. Some things you say about brethren, you spread disease in the camp.
Yeah.
So he just tells you, keep quiet. You sit on it. How many of us have watched one movie, old movie, Mask? They call it Mask. The guy wears mask, then it changes to one green monster like that. You understand? I used to imagine that many times the Spirit of God wants us to be masked in our soul. The tree bump to one place, the mask, that guy that wears the mask. He was holding the mask, the tree bump, and the bomb was going to blow and kill everybody. So he wore the mask and changed and took the bomb and swallowed it. So the thing blew, because by that mask, it becomes so powerful. You understand? The thing blew inside of you and it belched smoke and everybody is sick, saved. That's how God wants us to be. When Satan fires bomb through a brother or sister, sometimes you righteously tell your wife. You righteously tell your house fellowship pastor. At times, the Spirit of God back there, when I still make those mistakes, Spirit of God is dealing with me. He will ask me one question. Okay, what would telling this person achieve in this matter? Other than evil speaking. He's not the pastor. Even if he's the pastor, he can't do anything about it. You are not changing. The person is not changing. Satan is winning. So he will just tell you, keep quiet. So you just find myself, I'll just keep quiet. I've also learned sometimes you take issue to authority. Authority, will, the moment you say it, you'll be expecting to hear, okay, I've heard, thank you. Okay, how about when we need to talk about how, than the Sunday school? Is that all? Because why? There is no need to put jara. Let it die there. So the Spirit of God tells you, you understand, keep it. Swallow the bomb. I'm talking about sanctification is not easy.
Yeah.
Then here is this guy does it again as his manner was. And he does something. And according to your own manner, wisdom has been given and righteousness has been revealed. The Spirit of God has prompted you. The next time he talks, don't say anything. And here you are. All the opportunities, like all the people you normally talk to are now coming around you. How far? Bao, you understand? How is the path? You know? And as you are fighting with the thoughts, maybe the first person came. Then that person, if you see the person, you would have released. But now you kept it. As you are keeping it, you know, I don't know what has happened to you. It's like you are holding atomic bomb. You don't want to stop it. You are being sanctified. Your tongue is being sanctified. Your mind is being sanctified. Your heart is being sanctified. And you keep it and you don't talk. And when it leaves, you find a good feeling. I'm not lying to you. You feel holy. Sometimes after saying some things to some people in the name of, you know, wanting to discuss matter, you feel filthy. You felt you have lost life. But now you feel holy. You feel weighty. You understand? Then the next person comes. And, you know, the next person even now brings the sister's issue. This sister, I've been watching now. Is he growing at all? Like if you are the scorekeeper. Just be like, oh, she will grow. You understand? God is helping all of us. As you see me, so I have my own problem. His wisdom. His wisdom at work in righteousness. That the best way to pour water on that fire that person brought, not meaning evil, but he brought fire all the same, is to say, if you see me, so you see me, I don't think I'm growing. If there's anybody that needs growth in EGFM, it is me. You understand? Just leave that sister. Talk to me about myself. How do you see me? You escape. You understand? Imagine doing that for 1 month. Nobody. You're not talking about anybody. Even the gate man on your street that you used to blast. You understand? You know, in your compound meeting, be like, that gate man is never there. They should sack him. You just keep your mouth. You are becoming holy. Hallelujah. You are becoming sanctified. A time will come, you would have unlearned how to speak evil. That when you now do it, if you do it, it will be strange to you. Yeah. Even people around you will be like, the pastor does not talk like this. You know, brother ZQT does not talk like this. What has happened? You understand? Means you've been redeemed from that nature. Yes. But it began by wisdom. So doctrine of Christ is the giving of the wisdom of life. The giving of the wisdom of life and peace, which we ought to obey. In the book of Romans chapter 1, I round up verse 5. Romans chapter 1 verse 5. This is Paul speaking. He said, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience of faith among all nations. It is on that ground of obedience that you find righteousness, sanctification, redemption. It is on the ground of obedience that power is demonstrated. A powerful man is the one who can be keeping quiet when everything in him wants to talk. He's the one who can choose to, you know, be saying to telling somebody, I love you, even though hate is at work. But he's doing, I love you. And he's demonstrating love. He's taking, that's power. Nuclear power is not up to that power that is being demonstrated. Yes, nuclear bomb. The effect of nuclear bomb, the most is that it will kill flesh. Yeah. But that nuclear bomb can't kill soul. But the power that is changing that soul is a power that is saving soul from the grasp of sin and death. Let's say amen. Amen. So the bane of, you know, we stopped. I had so many things on my notes, but I had to just, you know, yield as I found grace. Is that, you understand, justification begins with our spirit. Now, inside justification, you find wisdom. You find righteousness, sanctification of redemption. Because he said, the just shall live by faith. That faith is the faith of the Son. But for you to land on the place of living, you have to begin with wisdom or doctrine or teaching. Then you progress to righteousness or righteous standards that will be revealed to you by the Holy Ghost. You understand? Then you progress to doing sanctification. Then when sanctification has gone its full circumference, you become redeemed, redemption. All of them put together is what makes for justification. So the just shall live by the faith of the Son of God. So a just man is he who is also already living it. Who is doing spiritual Mr. Niger D by the faith of the Son of God? It's what he determines what he eats, his irritability, his growth, his excretion. All his life is governed by that doctrine, meaning he has prospered in charity to the full. But it's good to know justification begins in our spirit at the new birth instantaneously. Then we learn it as doctrine with our soul as we are taught in the church. Can we give thanks to God this afternoon in the name of Jesus? Let's bless the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your word. We give you glory and praise. We honor you. We praise you. Thank you for your mercy that came upon us, even that grace upon your servants, that the Eguchukwu Mommy Lillian. We thank you for speaking your word to us. We ask, oh God, grace to grow from wisdom to righteousness, to sanctification, to redemption, that you continually give it to us. That we'll keep going over that circumference of wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, until all our, sin and death natures are fully eroded and replaced with the life of the just, which is the life of life and peace, which is the life of Christ, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Good afternoon, everyone. See you next time. Thank you.
By the new and living way. We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call 0909-054-2599. You can also contact us by WhatsApp on 0803-688-4759. God bless you. Oh, by the new and living way, consecrated Father.